In today's video, you learn about environmental justice and its impact across the world. We discuss how it's connected to corporate social responsibility and how corporations and businesses can integrate it with their CSR strategies. Let's make a social impact. Hi, everyone. I'm Carl. Welcome to the Social Impact Show, a channel where you get the latest strategies and tips to help you scale and grow your CSR and goodness programs. So my first guest today is MK Racine. She is a social responsibility manager, and we're going to be talking about environmental justice. So MK, you know, I guess to start, how would you define environmental justice and why is it important in the world today?
And I take my cue from the experts. At its most basic, environmental justice is achieving equitable environmental protection for everyone. Right now, underserved, low-income, minority populations are all on the receiving end of environmental damage and injury at a highly disproportionate rate. Environmental justice seeks fair treatment and purposeful involvement of everyone as it pertains to protection and actually to the decision-making process as it relates to environmental regulations, policy, and ultimately law. So environmental justice is important today as it was yesterday, as it will be tomorrow, because not everyone has the same access to safe housing in areas free from toxic waste dumps or environmental pollutions. Not everyone has the same access to safe drinking water or clean air and even recreational green spaces. Everyone should have the opportunity to live, work, and play unencumbered by harmful, life-threatening environmental pollutants. And that's just not the case, and it hasn't been for decades. So as a result, action is needed now. But with a topic like environmental justice, education is a critical first step. Because when we talk about the environment, we talk about climate change, critical environments, healthy ecosystems, and these are all important focus areas. But we don't necessarily delve into or branch out into environmental justice. So by sharing this information, the information in this podcast, making it part of the greater environmental conversation will really help us make progress on the environmental justice movement.
So can you give us some examples of environmental injustice and how are they being addressed today?
Taking a look at today's headlines, you'll see environmental justice or injustice everywhere, though it might not be addressed as environmental justice, or you might not make that association because you don't have the context until now. So I would say last year, Mount Vernon, New York, in this community is primarily Black residents, and they're dealing with 100-year-old sewers. And these pipes are brittle and cracking, and they're causing raw sewage to pour into the homes of these residents on almost a daily basis. This is a financial, a health, and an emotional burden for these residents, and they've been dealing with it for 20 years, for over two decades. I'll also say over the summer, you may have seen in the headlines, the Supreme Court ruling against the Navajo Nation with regard to the Colorado River water rights. So in the headlines, the Navajo Nation, their request was very modest. They were seeking assessment of their water needs and a plan to meet those needs. And what's interesting is the facts of the case go back to treaties that the tribe and the federal government signed back in the early 1800s, 1849, 1868. Yet today in 2023, the Navajo Nation still does not have resolution. There's one more thing I'll touch upon. This is the model minority myth as it pertains to AAPI, so Asian American Pacific Islanders. And the model minority myth is where the mainstream perception places AAPI individuals in affluent neighborhoods, far from sources of pollution, when in fact, a notable number of AAPI individuals, they actually live in fenceline communities and in urban areas that are heavily burdened by industry and thus environmental pollutants. As a result, concerns of the health implications of this exposure, they are greatly underestimated. And this is reflected in the health care that they receive or the health care that they don't receive.
So let's actually shift to how companies can actually address this, and specifically with corporate social responsibility. So how can corporations, I guess, incorporate environmental justice into their CSR programs?
If you already have an environmental initiative in your CSR strategy, environmental justice can very easily be incorporated, but it also fits very well into DEIB, diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging, as well as community engagement or community impact initiatives. I would say EJ transcends some of the major pillars of CSR strategies that many companies already have. There are opportunities for donations and fundraising, volunteering, learning, and CSR professionals, they can integrate this into their existing efforts and plans. We all live on the same planet. Our environment is part of our lives. Environmental justice applies to more people than you think. And if we continue on the destructive track that we're on now, it's only going to affect more and more people. So putting that effort in now, putting an EJ initiative in place now, you'll find those synergies to work and move forward that EJ movement, and that's actually going to benefit us all. So find a way to incorporate into your current CSR strategy and partner it with other initiatives like equity and sustainability.
So like we've seen with other social impact programs like diversity, equity, inclusion, or ESG, when you add another, you know, program like environmental justice, there's going to be a lot of, you know, challenges and roadblocks. So what are some of those challenges that businesses would face when they're trying to implement environmental justice into their social impact programs? And, you know, how would they overcome those?
I think there are many more opportunities than there are challenges, but I do think it's a very fair question. Given that there is not a lot of awareness or talk about environmental justice per se. So I anticipate some of those challenges could be the same challenges as just having CSR strategies in a company, funding for employees in a CSR program, CSR validation or priority against other company initiatives. But when you think about EJ, it truly is an initiative that can broaden existing CSR efforts for greater reach of employees and greater impact in the communities. It can create a more collaborative effort with existing teams like DEIB, environment, community, and any employee or business resource group around planet initiatives, equity for minorities, and low-income populations. If you're using the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals or SDGs, you'll find some synergy there as well. So I suggest taking a look at what you already are doing, find where you can insert an EJ initiative. And I don't believe you have to look too far too deep to find those connections and synergies. And if you're just starting to develop your CSR strategy, I recommend environmental justice because it does transcend DEIB, planet, community efforts, and can truly maximize impact with a more singular effort if budget and other resources are scarce.
So MK, how do you see the field of environmental justice evolving in the future if we've already kind of like, if we're already behind?
I see it evolving with some effort, obviously, and that starts with, one, using what we have today and spreading that knowledge, educating others about EJ, again, making it part of that greater environmental conversation and branching it out, digging deep into really what environmental justice is. Make that connection within your CSR initiatives. The more people in different fields with differing experiences, the greater chance we have for innovation and evolution. We're not recreating the wheel here when it comes to something like that, an approach like that. Obtaining more input helps us generate better ideas for progress. We need to listen to our youth and also be guided by them. Right now, we have a term called eco-anxiety. It is a new term for the world we live in today. And this is a concern about the future of the planet, its unpredictability, and how that affects us. And though this stress isn't limited to children, there's a difference between being an adult, slowly realizing what we're doing to the planet and what's happening to the environment, and having been born in the last 10 or 15 years into the world knowing these realities. So our youth, as we say, is our future. Naturally supporting their roles, giving them or amplifying their platform for the planet that they will inherit here in the very near future is important for the environmental justice evolution. You look at Greta Thunberg, whose concern about the planet and what she learned sparked her action from a single child striking against climate inaction to a global climate strike of over 4 million people taking action on a single Friday per her Fridays for Future initiative. That is incredibly powerful. That is a huge result. An investment in our youth, magnifying their voices and their action is critical for evolving the EJ effort. I'd also say indigenous populations around the world are deeply connected with nature, and they're cultivating the earth, not just taking from it. They foster respect for nature, and truly their traditions, their practices are that of conservation. So I think listening to indigenous communities, adopting their practices, refraining from the harmful practices that they've discouraged, really partnering with them practices will help us actually evolve the environmental justice effort. And then the last thing I'd say is there is a lot of divisiveness today, especially in the U.S. We have to stop using language like us and them. There are plenty of people in both main political parties, those affiliated with other parties, and those not affiliated with any party that care about the environment. They care about the detrimental impact on others, and they are taking action and getting results. So no matter a person's race, their economic background, their creed, there are those who deeply care about this planet and the well-being of others who will move the EJ movement forward. We have to be inclusive and welcoming in our language and in our pursuits. We must be kind because we cannot be divisive in language or action. It will take all of us to move this forward to achieve environmental justice for everyone.
Very well said. So MK, if any of our audience wants to connect with you, what's the best place to reach you?
I would say LinkedIn. I think it's just under MK Racine, R-A-C-I-N-E. And I would also encourage, I welcome any conversation, new information, but I also encourage people, you could look up the 17 Principles of Environmental Justice, and you could start there. You could start with maybe your local chapter of Nature Conservancy or Sierra Club, just to learn more about nature and environmental justice. But yes, feel free to reach out to me. I'm happy to have a conversation and to learn more because I am not an expert. I am just very passionate about it.
Thank you for listening to The Social Impact Show. Make sure to rate, review, and subscribe. Then visit benevity.com to access some of the resources mentioned in this episode, along with tons of other insights to help you grow your program. Music provided by Ikeson. For questions or topics you want us to cover, reach us at podcast@benevity.com. Until next time, be a force for good.